Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by CBDMD. Getting a good night's sleep can be much easier said than done, but don't worry because our good friends at CBDMD have exactly what you need to help you unwind and sleep harder than all-star voters slept on Bam Adebayo, or insert your favorite all-star snub here. Sleep PM bath salts fuse superior CBD and melatonin with a mixture of Epsom, Dead Sea, and Himalayan salts to turn any bathtub into a luxury spa experience and give you the relaxation you desperately deserve. And to make it even easier to relax, regroup, and recharge, they're offering all our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Wednesday, everybody. The final day before the Timberwolves get back to action. They play, of course, Thursday evening, so we'll have one more show before the Wolves play again. We'll do a preview show on Thursday of Wolves-Pelicans. Today, though, we're talking trade deadline. We're talking rumors. We're talking second half schedule. There is a PJ Tucker rumor related to what the Wolves offered for PJ Tucker back around the draft in November. We always knew the Wolves were interested in Tucker, but what kind of value are they willing to give up for PJ Tucker, who, of course, has had a disappointing season in Houston? So I want to unpack that and what his value, or I guess the bullet that the Wolves potentially did dodge by not trading for PJ Tucker. And then I also want to talk about John Collins. There's some chatter around the Twitter sphere on Tuesday that the Wolves were interested in John. I mean, we know they're interested in John Collins, but there's, I don't think, really a substantiated, real, true rumor, but more chatter. So I want to dive a little bit more into the John Collins situation and what could the Wolves potentially offer to acquire John Collins from the Atlanta Hawks prior to the March 25th deadline. And then we'll wrap by talking about the second half schedule for the Wolves and what this thing looks like moving forward. The near schedule, you know, the next couple of weeks here, well, the Wolves are still without D'Angelo Russell and Malik Beasley. And then what's upcoming, what's on the docket beyond the month of March, and do things get any easier for the Timberwolves? Quick reminder, as always, you can subscribe to Locked On Wolves wherever you like to listen to your podcast. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T Wolves and at B Beacon. That's B Beacon, two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Okay, so let's open with the PJ Tucker rumor. This is, I guess it's not a current rumor, but it's information related to what the Wolves offered for PJ Tucker back in the offseason. Of course, going back, I guess, almost 4 years now to Tom Thibodeau's first big offseason in Minnesota, the same offseason in which he signed Jeff Teague, traded Ricky Rubio, signed Taj Gibson, eventually signed Derrick Rose at the time to a veterans minimum contract. There were all kinds of things that Tom Thibodeau did that offseason. And one of the things he tried to do and didn't succeed in doing was bring in PJ Tucker. He ended up signing a 4-year deal with Houston, did very well for himself. And when he was a free agent, then he was 31 years old, so just on the wrong side of his prime, but seen as kind of a 3-and-D type guy that could guard multiple positions. And he still is that. And leading into this season as a 35-year-old, you know, Tucker was the type of guy who was a perfect fit for what the Wolves are trying to do. And of course, Gerson Rosas was in Houston when Tucker signed there 4 years ago, nearly 4 years ago, and has a history with him. There are still some members in the Timberwolves front office and at the time coaching staff who were in Minnesota when they looked at acquiring Tucker 4 years ago. And Tucker's profile fits perfectly next to Karl-Anthony Towns. He's a guy who can guard threes, fours, play small ball five. He's very switchable among bigs, and you know, has clearly, at least this season, we'll get to this in a minute, has lost a half step at least, but a solid team defender, a solid individual defender, a really good 3-point shooter from the corners, 38.2% for his career from the corners coming into this season, just over 36% total from 3-point range for his career as a guy who's primarily played the four and in recent years played a lot of five for Houston. Just a low usage guy on offense. He's an okay rebounder, especially for his size. And his offensive profile is a low usage guy. You can knock down corner threes, play in the dunker spot along the baseline. There's a lot to like about his fit with Carl Anthony Towns, and there's a reason why the Wolves were very interested in him. There were plenty of rumors around draft time that the Wolves wanted to land PJ Tucker. They didn't. Then shortly after the start of the regular season, John Krasinski over at The Athletic had talked about, I believe he wrote an article and he talked in a podcast. There were several times between December and January that John talked about the Timberwolves still being interested in Tucker and needing that edge and that toughness and that demeanor that very few Wolves have. Could he bring that edge to the Timberwolves at a position that the Wolves sorely or still are sorely lacking? And so it made sense the Wolves would be interested. Of course, as soon as this year, you know, the Wolves started 2-0 and it was clear that, hey, Hernan Gomez isn't up to speed yet. Josh Okogie is not a long-term answer at the four. Jake Lehman probably clearly isn't either. I think everybody knew that even while the Wolves were 2-0. So that's when the Tucker chatter started. And then as the slide began, the Wolves were 2-5 and 2-6 and 2-7 and Towns was on the brink of coming back. The conversation kind of revived itself in January about, hey, you know, the Wolves should bring in PJ Tucker to shore up the front court and give this team an edge and defense and some 3-point shooting and all these different things. And now it of course makes no sense. So this isn't a current rumor, but it's still fascinating to find out what the Wolves had on the table for the Houston Rockets and what the Rockets, frankly, what they should have accepted back in November. This is a report from Jake Fisher over at Bleacher Report. He says that the Timberwolves, I'll just read this verbatim. He says, around the draft, Houston's new front office could have gotten a late 2020 first round pick for Tucker from Minnesota, league sources said. But Rockets ownership rebuffed moving Tucker at the time, sources said, as they still believe they could keep Harden and build another playoff contender around him. Now, obviously, they didn't keep James Harden. He was traded a few weeks later. This was before all the ugly stuff came out about Harden wanting out of Houston shortly after the coaching change. So they knew Steven Silas was going to be the coach there. And Rockets decided not to trade Tucker. Fast forward to now, nearly 4 months later, and there's no chance the Rockets are getting a first round pick for PJ Tucker at this stage in the game. Tucker's had a bad season. He just has. And easily the worst season of his career. And if it wasn't for his age, you could say it's a blip on the radar. But because we know that he is about to turn 36 in, like, I think less than 2 months. Is this the first step in a very quick, steep, precipitous decline for PJ Tucker? He's averaging, and per game averages certainly don't tell the whole story, but he's averaging 4.4 points and 4.6 rebounds per game, which both would be career lows. And he's averaging still 30 minutes a game, which is, he didn't average that many minutes a game his first season in Houston or his last season in Phoenix before that. So it's down a little from the last couple of years, but he's still playing a solid amount. His 3-point shooting percentage is 31.4%, which ties a career low. His usage rate is by far a career low. And part of his appeal is his low usage rate, but you can't have a guy in offense who has a usage rate of 7.8%. He's basically a non-threat entirely. And his rebound rate is also a career low, only 8.2% from a guy who primarily plays the four and still plays some five for the Rockets. That is not acceptable. You just can't win with a big man who's on the court with an 8% rebounding rate. But I mean, defensively, he's still fine. He's still a good defender. He can still hold his own. He's switchable. He's a good team defender, all those things. There's some fluky stuff too. His turnover rate's 19%, which it's never been higher than 14.7. And that was 6 years ago in his career. So that's a little bit fluky. And some of those things are pulling down some of his advanced metrics, but he's been actively bad this year overall, clearly. And the Rockets would be lucky to get a second rounder for him, quite frankly. And if the Wolves had traded a first for him back in November, I mean, he's a free agent this offseason. He's going to walk. He's going to look for one more multi-year deal. Maybe he'll get a two-year deal with a team option for the second year or something like that. But obviously, if the Wolves had him on the roster right now, they'd be doing the same thing and trying to shop him. Think about a world in which the Wolves are in the exact same situation, but no Jaden McDaniels. And instead, they traded a late first-round pick for Tucker, or maybe they would have traded the pick that they got Leandro Bolmaro with. Of course, Bolmaro is still playing overseas. So maybe it's not an utter disaster, but also imagine the alternate universe, the one in which we'd all like to live, when the Timberwolves say Towns doesn't get hurt in game two of the season, say that D'Angelo Russell doesn't get hurt and need knee surgery, say Towns doesn't get COVID-19. And the Wolves did trade for PJ Tucker, and you have a starting lineup with Tucker and Towns in the front court, Beasley on the wing with, Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell at the point. I'm not saying PJ Tucker would have single-handedly turned around the season for the Timberwolves had they traded for him, but a healthy Towns with PJ Tucker and a healthy D'Angelo Russell. I mean, this team's probably in the conversation at this moment for a 9 or 10 spot in the West, especially with the way, you know, teams like Houston have played in Sacramento, and the Wolves would certainly be in that conversation had things turned out differently. And Tucker, clearly a good version of Tucker, is a better option than Okogie at the four in most situations, is better than Juancho at the four, is better than Jake Layman at the four. But then again, if he had the same decline in Minnesota, then I guess we'd be sitting here today trying to trade PJ Tucker. The Wolves would be sitting here today trying to trade PJ Tucker for a second round pick or something of that nature. So it's not happening. The Wolves are not trading for PJ Tucker, to be clear, because it wouldn't make any sense at all. But keep an eye out in the offseason that the Wolves may try and bring him in on a relatively, you know, whether I don't know if Tucker's going to, I mean, I guess if this year keeps playing out the way it has through the first half for Tucker, he's not going to get much more than the vet minimum. But if the Wolves try and bring him in the offseason still, don't be surprised. They're just not going to give up any assets for him. But it shows you how highly he was valued by both the Timberwolves and the Rockets as recently as 4 months ago, and how quickly these things can shift. I think it's easy to forget that sometimes. So keep an eye on that situation, see what happens. And it's always interesting to find out what the Wolves were willing to pony up for other players on the trade market. Okay, I want to talk about John Collins next. There's been some chatter on Twitter, and I've talked a lot about Collins over the past, I don't know, 9 months or so on this podcast, but there's a little more chatter around Collins recently. And, you know, I think it's pretty likely he's traded in the next couple of weeks. I still am dubious that the Wolves could really get involved. But I want to talk about what the chatter is and what he would bring to the table, what a potential trade with the Hawks could look like for the Timberwolves, just based on the contracts on each team's roster and what the Hawks might be looking for. So that's coming up next. First, though, let's talk about our friends at Blue Chew. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets combat all forms of ED and can help men gain extra confidence for when it's time to perform. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. Blue Chew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to receive your first month absolutely free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. Here at Locked On Wolves, we cover everything you need to know about the Timberwolves, but what about the rest of sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network also has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the fantastic Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. Okay, so on Tuesday, there was a lot of Twitter chatter about John Collins. I don't know exactly where it started, and there wasn't, as near as I could tell, any real, truly sourced rumors regarding John Collins and the Timberwolves. However, there's been a lot of talk about it. I'll point out Travis Lilechek on Twitter at Trav Lilechek. He noted on Twitter on Tuesday morning that John Collins deleted his Instagram post and was followed by D'Angelo Russell, David Vanterpool, and Karl-Anthony Towns. And then later in the day said that Towns, it doesn't show that he follows Collins anymore. So whatever that means, who knows? But I kudos to Travis for pointing it out, because otherwise I would not have noticed that. Who knows if that means anything? Players occasionally will have a sense that something like this is happening. You might remember Andrew Wiggins a couple of weeks before the Warriors trade. Actually, I think it was during the offseason last year. Wiggins knew that he was being discussed as a possibility to be traded, and he took off a bunch of Minnesota Timberwolves related stuff from his social media accounts. I mean, that stuff happens, and sometimes it's legit. It also could be as simple as Collins knowing that he's likely to get traded and just removing some of that stuff. And Timberwolves players, of course, want John Collins on the Timberwolves. So for whatever that's worth, the chatter picked up. Everybody's talking about it. And so I think it's worth revisiting what Collins would bring to the Timberwolves. Real quickly, Collins would bring, I mean, he would immediately be the Wolves' legitimate second option offensively. He last year averaged 21 and 10, this year averaging 18 and 7.6 rebounds on a team where his, I mean, the Hawks made a bunch of offseason moves and there's a lot of other guys trying to get the basketball in Atlanta. I think in Minnesota, he probably is averaging somewhere in the 18, would average somewhere in the 18 and 8 range instead of 21 and 10 like he did last year for a bad Hawks team. But still, last year he shot 40% from three. This year he's just under 39%. So for his career, he's at 37.4. But over the past two seasons, last year and so far this year, which I guess total is about one season's worth of games, he's shot 39.5% from three. He is a pretty prototypical four in today's NBA. He's switchable, can guard multiple positions. I do think he gets a little bit of a bad rap defensively. He's okay. I mean, he's passable as a four. He's certainly better than Hernan Gomez. It's not close. He's better and bigger than Jake Layman defensively. He can, I think, would work well in David Vanterpool's drop pick and roll scheme, and I think would be a good second big. He's certainly not a rim protector by any stretch of the imagination, but he can hold his own. He did have a block rate of over 4% last year, although that's clearly an outlier in his career. He can block some shots. You know, he could defend without fouling fairly well, which has been a consistent issue for the Timberwolves bigs this year. And those things are important. So you're not adding a defensive superstar, but you're improving your defense at the four by bringing in John Collins. Even, I mean, the difference between terrible, which I just, honestly, that's what Hernan Gomez and Layman and Okogie at the four at times, depending on the matchup. That's what the Wolves have done at the four this year. They've played terrible defense. And the difference between terrible and decent is pretty similar to the difference between decent and really good, right? I mean, I think sometimes it's easy to forget just how important being average at things is. And if you have guys that are plus defenders in the rotation and a couple of average guys and only one or two guys that really drag your defense down. Right now, it's the inverse of that. There's really nobody that's a great defender individually on this team right now. Okogie and Culver are both fine. And there's, you know, Towns has shown flashes this year being pretty good, but you have guys that actively sabotage your defense, like a D'Angelo Russell or a Malik Beasley, or obviously not intentionally sabotage, but actively sabotage the defense like those guys or Anthony Edwards at times. And it really drags the entire unit down. But if you can sub those guys out for average defenders, it's going to make a major difference. Now, the big thing is offensively, I already mentioned his three-point shooting capability. He's good in the pick and roll. Last year, he was like 84th or 85th percentile in terms of points per possession as the roll man in the pick and roll game. Not nearly as high this year. And again, the Hawks have had a weird season. And so I think, you know, last year means more to me than what he's done so far this year. So it gives the Wolves the option to run pick and rolls, you know, to operate out of the post on both sides of the floor, to run pick and rolls on both sides of the floor with Collins and Towns. Both guys can pop outside the arc and shoot threes at a 40% clip. Both guys can score in the paint. Both guys can really score anywhere on the floor. And at least in Towns' case, you know, Collins is not a creator. He's not going to dish out a ton of assists by any means. Towns is going to be your guy who can also be a playmaker. But Collins can do everything else really well. And he would be a great fit with the Timberwolves. Now, the problem is, and also to be clear, among the trio, and I said this the other day, I think it was Monday's show, Aaron Gordon, Larry Nance, John Collins. Collins has by far the greatest upside, is by far the best offensive player, by far the best fit for the Timberwolves offensively. And also, somewhat ironically, he's actually the cheapest in terms of what he's being paid this year. He's only getting paid $4.1 million, but he's also about to get a massive extension. He's looking for a max contract extension. In the offseason, the Atlanta Hawks offered him 4 years and a little over $90 million, I think it was. About 4 years, $90 million. And he turned it down looking for a max deal, which is 100% understandable. And there was this rumor, I mentioned this at the start of the show on Tuesday, Darren Wolfson said last week that Collins' camp, his agency, everybody wants, it thinks that the Timberwolves could be a good fit for him because he could come here and put up some serious numbers with Karl-Anthony Towns. And then Collins will for sure get his max deal at the end of this year. Somebody will give him that money. Now, there's not a ton of cap space out there this summer necessarily, but I think that somebody will pay a guy who can average 20 and 10 and shoot 40% from three and play average defense. I mean, those things, I mean, you, a player like that is worth something close to a max. Now, I'm not convinced he really should get a max contract, but then again, D'Angelo Russell shouldn't either, and he's getting paid a max. So it's understandable why Collins thinks he should. Now, would the Wolves give up assets to acquire him and then turn around and also extend him in the offseason and have a trio of max contracts in Towns, Russell, Collins? That's a roll of the dice. And this is something else I talked about on Tuesday's show is the possibility of or the position you'd be in as the Timberwolves to surround them with affordable talent, which is something that like these teams with real big threes, like whether it be the Lakers or going all the way back to the Heat or more recently the Cavs or even the Warriors, those teams were able to do that because they had three legit superstars that they then filled with veteran players on minimum type contracts or low cost rookies. I mean, the Warriors did that very well. They drafted at the end of the first round and the second round really well to fill out that roster. And it seems kind of ridiculous to talk about the Timberwolves, a team that very well could end up with the league's worst or second worst record this year, and talk about them as a team with three max deals and trying to figure out the moves on the fringes to make it a competitive playoff-worthy roster. Sounds crazy, but then again, you remember that Russell and Towns have played five games together. So you get those two plus John Collins. You still have Malik Beasley in this scenario. Hopefully it's going to be tight, but I think you can do it. But now you're looking at guys like, you know, Jordan McLaughlin's your backup point guard, and he's a free agent after this year. And Jalen Noel would play a big role on this team next year. And Naz Reid would be your backup big, you know, next year. And which is fine if you feel like they're going to continue to develop and you can round out the rest of your roster with low cost veterans. So that's all for all those reasons. I really think it's unlikely the Wolves, and I hate to be a wet blanket because I love John Collins and I think the fit's awesome. I just don't think it makes sense for the Wolves to give up true assets for a guy that they would then need to turn around and try and squeeze under the cap with a max deal. It just would be really tough to do. And the trade itself wouldn't be hard, at least matching the money wouldn't, because he's only making $4 million. I mean, you could trade Jarrett Culver in a future pick if that was the best offer the Hawks got. Now, I don't think it will be. You could get a third team involved and trade out Ricky Rubio and maybe try and get another piece back from the Hawks, they're not going to trade DeAndre Hunter, but I don't know, maybe it's Onyeka Okongwu who just got drafted this year. He could be a bench big for the Wolves moving forward and add some defense. Maybe they look for another young wing like a Kevin Huerter or something like that thrown in from Atlanta. That's not the tough part for me. The tough part is, well, number one, I think the Hawks will get a better offer than what the Wolves can offer unless they involve Anthony Edwards. But then why are you going to do that unless you know for sure that you're going to be extending John Collins in the offseason and paying for him and fitting him under the cap with Russell and with Towns? So, and then the second reason, obviously, is the contract thing. I just don't think assets plus the contract and the luxury tax and everything that's going to go along with it makes a ton of sense for the Timberwolves. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that Rosas and Sachin Gupta and the rest of the Timberwolves front office can do some salary cap magic and make this thing work and pull off a trade for Collins. I'm dubious that it's realistic that sort of a move could be made. And I just don't think that's the splash that Minnesota is going to make at this trade deadline. Okay, I do want to round up by talking about what's up next on the Timberwolves schedule and then what's upcoming beyond that, what the rest of the season could look like in terms of the schedule and, you know, what could a final Timberwolves record potentially look like when it's all said and done. Before we do that, though, let's talk about Built Bar. Of course, I've been telling you about Built Bar for a long time now. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market, and no exaggeration, tastes just like a candy bar. It's the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on every single bar. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. We have two matchups today, and they are both fascinating. The first one is German chocolate versus salted caramel. Both delicious. I am more of a caramel person in every dessert walk of life. So I'm going to go salted caramel in this matchup, and it will actually take on a bar that's got a bye next week. So stay tuned for more on that. But German chocolate, salted caramel, I'm going with salted caramel. And then Mocha Love versus white chocolate birthday cake. I have not had birthday cake. I'll go with Mocha Love there. And that will also be an intriguing matchup in the second round. So go to BuiltBar.com and vote. Vote for salted caramel. Vote for Mocha Love. Right now, you can go to BuiltBar.com or at Built_bar on Twitter to vote. And don't forget, you can use the promo code LOCKEDON20. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. You can check back to see who wins today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. And finally, let's talk about our friends at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Again, that promo code's locked on. Again, promo code locked on at betonline.ag. You'll get 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Okay, we're going to go ahead and roll right into talking about the second half schedule. But if you haven't listened to Chad Ford's Big Board, now is the time. March Madness starts next week, I guess. And the future of the NBA is on display. Right now, get a head start on this year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast. Draft guru Chad Ford has released his Big Board 2.0 with profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get podcasts. Okay, let's talk about the Wolves' schedule right out of the break. It's not easy. They play at the New Orleans Pelicans right out of the gate on this Thursday. That's at New Orleans. And then their next five games are all against teams in the top five in the West. The Pelicans are, of course, still battling for a playoff spot or a play-in spot. But the Wolves then, starting Saturday, have Portland twice. Back-to-back games at home against Portland Saturday, Sunday. And then they're at the Lakers and then two games at Phoenix, back-to-back games next Thursday and Friday. So five consecutive games, two against Phoenix, two Portland, and one the Lakers right in the middle. Three of them on the road. It's going to be rough. No Malik Beasley. He's still suspended for nine more games. No D'Angelo Russell, who was given the 4 to 6 week timeline roughly 3 weeks ago. So you got to expect he's going to miss minimum one more week, but probably two or three. And that puts the Wolves, you know, look at this next six. Hopefully they can win one. Of course, they're on a long losing streak as it is. Seven, eight games in a row? Actually nine games in a row. So we'll say they go 1-6 in those first seven games out of the break, or I guess six games, the New Orleans game plus those five really tough ones. So we'll say they go 1-5, and then it gets a little easier. You've got Oklahoma City at home, Dallas at home, and then twice Houston at home, a back-to-back Friday, Saturday. And three of those four games are against below 500 teams, of course, with Houston and Oklahoma City. Also notable, the trade deadline is the 25th, which is right in the middle of those four games before the back-to-back against Houston. So who knows what this team looks like at that point, which of course renders this conversation mostly moot. But at any rate, they have the tough six games right out of the break. I think they'll go 1-5 there. Then you've got the four easier games, maybe go 2-2 there. It's starting to straighten things out. And we'll see what happens after the deadline. But really then the schedule's not too bad. I mean, they've got Houston three times. They haven't played them at all this year. They've got Sacramento three times. So they haven't played the other two bottom tier teams in the West at all yet. You've still got Detroit on the schedule once. That's all the way in May. Talked about that with Matt from Locked On Pistons on Tuesday and how that's going to be the Super Bowl for both of these teams, basically. So there are certainly some winnable games out there. And I'm not saying that to suggest that the Wolves are going to go on like a crazy run or anything, but to get Beasley and Russell back, to be competitive, to maybe make a move or two at the deadline, to see what you really have is really important. And I haven't even talked about Chris Finch. I mean, the poor guy's 0-5. He's coached five games. Hopefully now he's had a chance to have some practices with his players. But, to see what Finch can do with the players that this team was meant to have on the floor will be really intriguing. And so it's not a complete throwaway. There's kind of this thing hanging over the team. Like, what happens with this first round pick? Should they tank? Should they not? And as I told Matt on Tuesday's show, I think you just play this thing out and you see what you have and you let the chips fall where they may. If you actively lose, you're just going to keep, first of all, I don't think they ever were actively losing, but I don't think that would be a solid strategy here because there's still only the 40% chance you keep your pick. It's pretty likely they're going to end up in the bottom three still, even if they have a decent second half. They're three games worse than the Pistons and several games. I guess I don't know what the difference between the Pistons and the next worst team is, but they'd have to do a lot of work to get themselves out of the bottom three and out of that 40% chance to land their pick. Remember, if it's outside the top three, when the lottery's done, it goes to Golden State as part of the Wiggins-Russell trade. So I think you see how this thing plays out. You cross your fingers, you hope that you play well, but yet you still get to somehow keep your pick and feel good about this season, plus the chance to land Cade Cunningham or somebody else in this draft. So It's tough. I mean, it's a really tough situation to be in, but the second half schedule isn't awful for the Wolves in terms of, if you don't want to tank, it's not awful, right? I mean, you play six games against Houston and Sacramento, add Detroit in there, seven games against those three teams. You'd like to think you could go at least 3-4, which is almost halfway to the amount of wins they got in the whole first half of the season. So it's pretty simple to see how the second half could be much better for the Wolves. And frankly, I'm knocking on wood as I say this. I don't think it could be much worse than how the first half played out for Minnesota and where things sit right now. So Thursday show this week, though, we'll talk about Wolves Pelicans, some actual basketball to look forward to. We'll get to see Zion Williamson. We'll get to see Karl-Anthony Towns. It should be a lot of fun to actually see some real Timberwolves basketball, to see Chris Finch hopefully having had the chance to install some more things offensively. And hopefully the Wolves will be rested and ready to play hard out of the break. Of course, as I mentioned a minute ago, this next week and a half of games is going to be really difficult. But at any rate, we'll preview Wolves Pelicans. We'll talk about the weekend ahead, the games ahead as well. And then, of course, we'll have a post-game pod following Thursday night's game and leading into Friday for Friday's show. So if you're not subscribed, be sure you do subscribe anywhere you like to listen to podcasts. And if you listen on iTunes, go ahead and help us out with a review. Definitely helps us get in front of more folks. Also, you can follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. It's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And at B Beacon. It's B Beacon. Two B's, two E's, CKEN. Thanks once again for listening to Locked On Wolves. Of course, we're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.